Let's begin. I put together 10 different Tevarlach on the Haggadah. Hopefully you could share some of these at home. If not, all of them maybe. So let's begin with the first page here. Sorry, it's a little bit small. I got my daughter sent it in my wife's WhatsApp, so it came out a little small to me. But if you look at the top right, number one, this is a Chiddush Arum, a very small piece here, but it's an important one. And the Chiddush Arum is talking about a well-known halacha, that there are two areas of halacha whereby there's a requirement the person has to sell his clothing, his own clothing, in order to fulfill a particular mitzvah. And that's the mitzvah of Chanukah and the mitzvah of Dalakosis. Why dafka these two areas? So the Chazal teach us that these are two areas of Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa as it relates to Chanukah and Pirsumei Nisa as it relates to Dalakosis. So since it's Pirsumei Nisa, it's a very, very important mitzvah. For that reason, a person has to go so far to even sell his own clothing to fulfill the mitzvah. So listen to what the Chiddush Arum writes. He says, it's not just because it's a Pirsumei Nisa we have to go so far, but he has a beautiful idea. He says as follows. Dal kosos kmo b'chanukah, halacha hi, shoel u'mocher k'suso, a person has to borrow, a person has to sell his clothing, yosir mi'asher b'mitzvahs acheres, more so than other mitzvahs, k'yaneis haya chutz l'derech ha'teva. Because since a neis, as we experience in Mitzrayim, we experience in neis Chanukah, because of course a neis is the mal me'ateva, l'chein sarcha adam lasos l'mal me'ateva, so to a person has to go above and beyond. He has to live outside of nature, and he has to be willing to sell his clothing and to borrow, even though it may not make any sense. But since it was a keneged l'mal me'ateva, he too must go l'mal me'ateva as well to show his great interest in performing this particular mitzvah. Okay, that's the first piece. The next piece is from a Haggadah, a ton of Haggadahs. I don't know who authored each one of them. A lot of them are probably Likut Haggadahs. But this one's called Otzos Haggadah. And he asks a very interesting question in terms of the order of the Manashana. First, we ask the question of why do we dip twice in this night? Then why about the matzah, and then maror and musubin? And he says, really, the question of dipping twice should be the last of the four questions for two reasons. One is in terms of chashivas. The matzah, which is deraisa, maror, which is derabanan, haseba is mederabanan. The tefillah is dipping twice is the least of the most important mitzvahs of the night. Why not save it to the last? Why is this the first question? And secondly, he says, also in order of the night, the last thing we do is the second dipping takes place after all the other things, after the matzah, the maror, the masubin. It's the last thing. So for these two reasons, they ask, why do we mention matzpila as the first of the Dalit questions? So he says as follows. If you take a look in the bottom right column, V'yeshlomar, we can answer, Da'atam shekavu kushyas matbilin b'tchila hilalam denu. The reason why we mention this question of dipping twice first, the bechinach yilade Yisrael, when it comes to being mechanech children, ha'ikir heim minhag Yisrael, the most important thing we discussed the other day is in minhag Yisrael's most important thing, kevin sheim ha'tovsin es ayin ha'yel t'chila. That's what catches a person's eye. He says the big difference between Am Yisrael and Umos Olam, listen, hinei achilak ben Yisrael la'amim, it's not only that we do mitzvahs, we wear tzitzis, we wear tefillin, we shake lulav, we sit in the sukkah, we eat matzah. That's not the only difference. Ela adraba. You know what the ikker difference is? The ikker chiluk nikker u'mizbate, it's so pronounced, dafka b'dvarim shebehen l'chora shovimim. When we do the same thing, when it comes to the world of mitzvahs, the world of Torah, there's a huge difference. There's no confusion between us and them. When things get confusing, it's when we do the similar things. How we dress, how we talk, how we eat, how we drink. So therefore, in that area, we have to make it even clearer, the distinctions. When we're most similar to the Goyim, that's when it's most important to show the distinctions. Ki achila, shtia, levush, ki yotibo, how we eat, how we drink, how we dress, debekach. The columns are a little messed up here. Bekach shegam, there's like a little break there in the copy. Shegam bedvarim elu misnagin Yisrael ba'ofen shonim ha'umos. How we dress is different. How we drink, how we eat, it's different. It might not be as glaring, but it's also there, and perhaps more important, he suggests. Nikar adavar shebechlalos chayim heim shonim v'nivdalim. We're also different how we eat. We say brachas before. We say brachas after. We have derech eretz. We don't scarf the food down. We eat like a mensch. We eat cleanly. We want to be mechanech a child so that when he gets older, he also doesn't chas v'shalom leave. Midercha Torah mitzvahs ain't maspik. It's not sufficient. Lachancha b'limud haTorah kima mitzvahs. That's not enough. That's of course important and it's a must. And the sheyesh lachancha b'ofen shekol hanagaso tia b'ofen hamatim l'bnei Yisrael afim v'hayel yilamei Torah kaima kol chiyuvim me'atorah mitzvah sofrim in bechlolos chayu misnayik b'ofen she'enu ma'atim l'bnei Yisrael chas v'shalom. If he acts in such a way that's not like a yid, he doesn't walk and talk and eat like a yid, lo targish etzla abdolash in ben yisalama. He won't recognize the difference. And therefore, the last paragraph, lachain kavu kushes matbilin tchila. The first thing, o lifnei kushes amatz mar, before we ask the bigger questions, af shem chivim deraisa derbanan, bichtei lamdenu shehatofes has ein hayel ve'osa baroshem hein be'ikir v'rishon ha'mitzanik. Even though it's not the most important thing, but it's going to stick out, it's going to be glaring, how we eat, how we drink, all these minhagim, it's going to stick out. And that's what we want to stick with the children. Not just the mitzvahs, not just the learning, but even the minhagim and the derech eretz that goes along with it. That's why we mentioned matabilim as the first question. The next one, number three here, from the Otis HaTorah. It's a wonderful set of svarim. It's a whole likud on the parshios. It's a likud on the various yom tovim. So he asks a question that many, many ask, and he gives a very nice mashal to explain this question. We know that we were told, we decreed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. And in the end of the day, we only spent, Baruch Hashem, 210 years. So what happened to the other years? So Duvna Magid tells us the following mashal. You have this lady who's a chef. She cooks. She cooks a big feast for many guests. She's a professional. And the way she cooks is that she lights a small fire, so the cooking takes a slow time, a long time to cook. So it slowly cooks, and as it cooks and her guests are waiting, she picks at the food. She steals, but she slowly picks away. But the longer she cooks, the more that's available. You know, Erev Shabbos in my house, the earlier my wife cooks, the more we're eating from the food. The longer it's out there. She cooks Thursday night, she has to hide the cookies because we know we're going to eat the cookies. So the more it's out there, the more available, the more you eat. So she's cooking all day long, slowly, a low fire, and she's picking away, and she gives her family and her children to eat. Everyone gets a whole meal. One day she had to go. So she, you know, told her daughter, could you do me a favor and you could take care of the cooking for the cook for the family. You'll be the chef. Her younger daughter was so excited, perfect. Her mother goes away. And I'm going to show my mother, she takes so long when she cooks. I'm going to cook so fast. I'm going to finish the meal in an hour or two. Everything's going to be ready. And boom, the mother comes home. And the daughter said, I made the food so quickly. So you missed the whole point. The point was to have everything cooked slow so we could eat and the whole food. But now the family has no food. You cooked it and you gave it away to the guests. Nothing for us to eat. Explains the Duvna Magid as follows. The gzeira was to have a slow slavery for 400 years under a small fire. Under a small fire. The Mitzrayim got so excited. Power got so excited. Let's make things worse for them. Let's turn the fire up. Let's make it really fast, really hot, really difficult. And because of that, because the Avdus was so strong, so powerful, so terrible, that was able to take the 400 years in the quantity and pull into quality, or if you're stronger magnitude of the Avdus. And that's how many explain, but based on this beautiful mashal, that's how they explain we were able to get out earlier, much earlier than we were supposed to, because they lit the fire, they raised the flame. The next piece is a very, very important for every single day we say a bracha, Shalosani Aved. Whoever thinks about that bracha, it's a very strange bracha. Shalosani Aved, I get Shalosani Goy. I get that. I get Shalosani Isha. Half the world is women, so we're thankful that we are in this Goral, this Chalik. Most of the world are non-Jews. We're thankful that we were Jewish. Shalosani Aved, how many of them are in the world that we're like, so concerned, Shalosani Aved, it was such a chashash, we're going to be an Eved, we're so concerned of this. So he writes a Davar Pasha, but it's important now because it gives us some meaning to when we say the bracha every single morning, as follows. If you look in the number four here, the bottom right paragraph, Umuva B'Svarim. It's brought down in the Svarim, Shekavanas Chazal, Ha'yisal Piska Zusha Agada. When Chazal were misakin this bracha of Shalosani Aved, they had in mind this statement, Ilu Lohotzi V'chulei, we would still be avadim leparo b'mitzrayim. Hari anu v'aneinu u'bnei v'aneinu m'shubadim hayin leparo b'mitzrayim. That's what they had in mind when they were misakim this bracha that we say every single day of our life. Hari shbechem las Hashem aleinu hotzinu m'mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his great compassion, removed us, saved us from Mitzrayim. Af shelo hayinu ruim lehigayel. We didn't deserve being redeemed. We're in the last level, the second last level of Tumah. We didn't deserve it. Ubelo zeh adayin hayinu avadim Mitzrayim. Had he not taken us out, we would still be avadim. Lachein muta aleinu levarach v'chol boker shelasani aved. And for that reason, every single morning we have to say a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and jump to the next column. But it's really the word lehodos, five lines down. Again, the paragraphs are messed up. You don't see the lines. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. They didn't leave us as Mitzrayim, as Avadim. And jump to the last paragraph. If they made us say this bracha every single day, they took us out of the slavery and brought us to freedom. Certainly, in this night of the Leil Seder, to understand, to appreciate, to internalize, when we say this statement, to be Yakir Tova Lashem al Godel Chazdo, Yizbarach Shotzianum Be'avdus L'Cheirus, L'Hashris Inin Zeblibo, to root it, to really internalize this message and this idea. To the next page, number 5, I have a Haggadah from the Adapt a Kolel, a big fat Haggadah from different Kolim throughout the country, those who are Zocha to help support Kolim. So this is a nice idea that's brought down in other Sfarim as well, this concept. But the famous mice of Rabbi Eliezer Yeshua, learning in Bnei Brak, and the Talmidim said, now is his man, Higiyah's man, Kriyah Shema Shel Shacharis. So what's going on here? So it brings down from the Agon, Zikne Agon, Hamufla, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, Abezdin, Abrisk, that the Perish Nifla found in Or Yisrael Al Torah. The Medrash tells that David HaMelech was not like the other kings, the Gemara teaches us in Brachos. Where the other kings, the Shachar, the sun rising, would wake up the other kings. They'd sleep, and then in through the windows they see the sun rising, they wake up. David HaMelech was unique, that he was Ma'oreh HaShachar. He woke up the sun, and he greeted the morning. He was up ready from Chatzos. And so the Taz explained that there are two types of Hisoros, two types of inspirations. There's some type of Hisoros that comes from above. We're inspired by something from above, a Kadosh Baruch who brought some nascent to this world. And there's some inspirations that come from below that we as individuals, we as a nation, were able to create the Hisoros from down below. So he says that David HaMelech was praising himself, that he was on that level, that he was able to generate, to produce the Hisoros from below. When he said, Ani Ma'oris HaShachar, I would greet the Shachar, I would be the creation, I would be the one to ignite the Hisoros. So that's what's going on here. He writes, look at the top left of this paragraph, Hinei, HaTanayim HaKadoshim, these great Tanayim, these great Tzadikim Halalu, Shehayum Marbin, they were speaking in great length and depth of Yitzis Mitzrayim, called so lightly whole night. Garmu l'hisorus le'ela. They were the ones who were able to generate, to ignite this orus. Because of b'svarim sha'alayla ha'hu shal Yitzis Mitzrayim haya b'china zachar. That night had a b'china of zachar. We spoke about this a little bit in Hilchos Shabbos, about the top and the bottom challah. Normally nighttime is nekeva. Daytime is typically zachar. That's why the challahs we cut, Leil Shabbos, we cut the Baram challah, Baram's always the Nekeva, night's always Nekeva. The daytime is always the male. We cut the top's always the male. There's something very unique when it comes to the Leil Mitzrayim. We do all these mitzvahs at nighttime. Most mitzvahs are done by Yom. The Mishnah Megill tells us that Chaf, there are certainly mitzvahs at night, but most mitzvahs are by Yom. Comes Leil Mitzrayim, Leil Seder, we suddenly do all the mitzvahs by Laila, Matzah, and Maror, and Dalkosos. So, why? Because we turn the Mitzrayim, Leil, Seder, night, turned into a day. It's into Zachar, turned into a male. We don't say Halal at night. When do you say Halal at nighttime? Leil, Seder. Halal is supposed to be said by Yom. Because the whole night turns into a Shachar, into a day. That's what he writes, the Zohar explains to us. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, Dibahai Shaita Bahir Havahu Laila B'Ktkuvas Tammuz. The night was as bright as Tammuz, as the summer months when the sun is so strong. Kolomar Shashina Mimaskunasa V'Hafech Laila L'Yom Bahir. Turned into a daytime. U'Kasher Tanayim HaKadoshim Halalu Harbulas Aper. They spoke in such great length. They created this Hisorus. This Orus that was so great. It was like Shachar. It was like Kriyash Ma'ashal Shachris. That was the hint there. They turned it into a Shachris. It wasn't yet the Zman, but it was Ki'ilu was the Zman. They turned that night into a daytime. And that's Pshat he's saying. Okay, let's go down to the next one, number six, from Rav Melech Biederman. Has a new English one out. The article did a wonderful job, I'm told. He asks the following question. When it came to Makas Tardaya, Makas Tardaya, they jumped into the ovens. And Chazal teach us that there was Ocha, that those particular Tzardei, those frogs that jumped into the oven, there's a chus, they were not burned, they were saved, they're Moser Nefesh. We have another animal that was Ocha to Schar in Mitzrayim, and that were the dogs. The Yechot Kelo, the Shona, the dogs, when we were leaving Mitzrayim, they didn't bark. They let us walk out quietly, they didn't make a whole ruckus. And there was Ocha, that all generations thereafter, all dogs will be zochet the baser nevelis for treifus. We feed them meat, the dogs. How come tzardeya, they jumped into the fires, their moser nefesh? Only the frogs who jumped in got the such a schar. The other frogs, in Mitzrayim, no. The frogs of the generation, the dogs, didn't get any schar. Only those frogs. But the dogs who just didn't bark, so they got the schar, the doros? Well, it was so special. They didn't bark. Great, but which one's better? Messias Nefesh, jumping in the fire is much better. So he looks, he says, he quotes a beautiful idea. It's in the bottom right here. It's around five lines up from the paragraph there. Mikano chiyach harav HaKadosh Rebbe David Mitolna. Zuchus Yogen Olenu. Shehar beyoser kasher lahavlik beis alvon v'lo linvach beper. When a person has an opportunity to make fun, to insult someone, if you're made fun of, to respond, to react, to make fun of someone, it's harder to hold back an insult, a good line, harder than that. If you're comparing which is harder, to keep your mouth shut or to jumping the fire is easier than keeping your mouth shut. A person gives you a little insult, you want to come back stronger, you want to say something, you want to insult him, it's much harder to hold back than it's to jump in the fire. That's the lesson he writes. Not an easy thing. Let's go now to number seven. I try each year to bring something from the Ish Kodesh, the Piyos Etzna. They have a Haggadah that came out last year, which is Malachi, different pieces from Parshia, but this one happens to be on Shabbos Haggadah. And he has a different pshat. There are many pshat in why Shabbos Haggadah is called Shabbos Haggadah, so he gives another pshat. Why is it called Shabbos Haggadah? And he asks a question also. You know, he says, in the beginning, top right here, Vayikra Moshe l'chol ziknei Yisrael v'yomar aleihem, mishchu v'kchu lachem tzon l'mishpechoseichem, mishachlu ha-pesach, take the carbon Pesach. The Medrash says, mishchu yideicha me'avodah zara, stop doing avodah zara, and take the tzon and bring a carbon. And he quotes from the Imei Elimelech, who asks the question, was this the first time Moshe told them to stop doing avodah zara? This is the first time? He didn't tell them beforehand? And why is it called Shabbos Haggadah, not Shabbos Rabbah? Why Dafka Shabbos Haggadah? So he quotes the bottom right, Efshir. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, Mashal Adam Shemavakshim, Imenu Kli Gadol V'Yeshlo. A guy asks to borrow from me a big pot. I've got a lot of big pots. So for me, it's not a big deal to give a big pot. That's a small thing for me. Even though the mice is big, but I've got so many pots, it's a small thing. It's for me to Kli Katan. A Katan V'Ein Lov, the guy asks me for a small pot and I don't have. A Domo Lov Kli Gadol. Depends what you have. You know, $2 for one person means nothing. $2 for somebody else means a lot. Depending what you have, that's going to define how big, how small something is. It's all very relative. So he says as follows, that Klai Yisrael had no mitzvahs at all, and therefore, even a small mitzvah was considered a davar gadol for them. So if you look, he says, the left side, v'nei Rebbe Masi ben Charish haya darish al pasuk v'avor, Alayach varech misposesses b'demayich v'amalach b'demayachayi v'amalach b'demayachayi ro'a kodesh baruch b'iso. Hashem saw Am Yisrael she'ein lem zuchus she'igalu. He knew that they had no zuchus to get free. V'noshen lem dam Pesach v'dam mila. He gave them those two mitzvahs of the Karim Pesach and the mila. Nimsa she'b'shosh she'igalu. Kvar yilem eitz zuchus. When they left, when they were redeemed, they already had a zuchus, two mitzvahs, Pesach mila. Aval b'Shabbos hazeh, Shabbos Agada, before they got the Mila, before the Karban Pesach, shekanu ata Pesach, they're only buying it, acquiring it. V'olo malu, there's no Mila yet. Shlohayelam zuchus, mikol makom nasan lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah zu, likichas atzon, asher bavura yigalu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a mitzvah just to take the Karban Pesach, just not to do Avodah Zarah. Stop, don't do Avodah Zarah. V'zeh b'chinas Shabbos HaGadol. Why was it Gadol? Ki b'chinas Einla, they had no mitzvahs. So for them, a small thing, even not doing Avodah Zarah, which was a simple thing for them, or just taking a sheep was a simple thing for them, that was a Davar Gadol. Shabbos HaGadol, for that reason, because they had no other mitzvahs. That's what he explains. Go to the next page, number 8. Hard to see number 8 there. It's a very nice piece from Lekach Valiba from Rav Avram Shor. So he asks a question about Marah, which is Zeichel Shibud, as we know, and Pesach and Matzah, Zeichel Gula. So Pesach, Matzah, Marah, it should really be Marah, Pesach, Matzah, Marah, Matzah, Pesach. Marah should be first, not last. Why is Marah last of all of them? Because first we had the Shibud, then we had the Gula. So he quotes from the wonderful Haggadah, Ma'aseh Nisim, that had we been makdim that paragraph of Haggadah's Ma'aseh Nisim, Kasev Bezeh Davar Nifla, V'ki'ilu Hayinu Makdim Esa Marah Shemasam Esa Shibud, had we had Marah first in the statement, Marah Matzum U'Pesach, how we said that, Hayu Choshvin Ki'ikra Gula Hu Mishibud Shematzrayim. We would have thought that what we're celebrating is the physical redemption from the Abdus. Me'akoshi V'ayimaru Eschayim, that's the most important thing, we are saved physically. Abal Ha'emes saying, okay, that's not really true. Ki ikra gula hayagulas haneshamas. The real true freedom was freedom of the soul, of the spirituality, the ruchnius. Gulas b'nei Yisrael mitumas Mitzrayim. V'afilu im hainu nishar b'mitzrayim avad maguf. Had we still been physically slaved, enslaved, v'kal makom im hayalanu gula ruchnius gamkin hayalanu gulas Mitzrayim. We would still celebrate a gula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still would have saved us somehow spiritually, even had we not been saved physically. And that's why we mentioned Marur, the physical redemption after the Pesach and Marah. And he says further now, beautiful, in the next piece, B'Mitzrayim, go halfway down there, he quotes Reb Leibel Eger, that says, this idea, that we are saved at the last level of Tumah, one last level of Tumah, one Nekuda left. Have we dropped down to the 50th level of Tumah? Reb Leibel Eger says, don't think we would not have been freed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have left us in there. Had we even reached the 50th Tumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still would have saved us. There's no question in my mind. The difference between the 49th and the 50th Tumah is, had we reached the 50th Tumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to make a Briya Chadasha. We would have been so far down, so deep, he would have to reset the button to start all over again. And we would have been redeemed as a new nation. And we would have lost all the Zechus Avos that we had. We had to be left with one Tumah left, not the bottom, but a little bit, a little Kedusha, so we could piggyback, use the Zechus Avos. That's what he writes. And it's now so meduyuk when we say, we go to the bottom right now where it says, V'yei Shloma. Does that perish Elashem Matzah Zuh, Sh'anu Ochlen Al Shema, Al Shem Shelo Hispik B'tekam She'avos Seinu Lahachmetz. That means the Zechus Avos. The Zechus Avos. And B'tekam says the Sfas Emes. B'tekam is the Nekuda Ruchni She'yesh B'nei Yisrael. The Nekuda that we have, the spiritual connection to the Avos, that B'tekam, that dough, is a reference to Zechus Avos, and so happens to be, he quotes later on this paragraph, that the Avos were Nisbarchu with three brachas, Bakol, Mikol, and Kol, which have the same gematria as Katzav Batzek. The Batzek is the Zechus Avos that we have, that's the Nekuda Ruchni, and had we went one layer, one to the last level, we would have lost that. So we had to stay within the 49th so we could continue with the Zechus Avos to celebrate the spiritual redemption. The next paragraph of Iker is a nice piece, but we're losing time, so you can read that on your own if you'd like. I also always like to do something on Hallel. We have 4 minutes left, Hallel. So Rav Schwab, he writes, what does the word Hallel mean? Just a pashup shot what Hallel means. And he says, I'll say this outside, the word Hallel doesn't mean just shevach, doesn't mean just praise. Hallel, he says, from the pasuk, Behilu behalu neiro ale roshi, that the neir is lit. Hallel means to light. But hallel is in the binyan kal, hallel. Hillel is peel. Hillel, he says, means to bring the light back to its source. It's like you put a candle or a flashlight into the mirror, it bounces back. That's what Hillel means. It's like a strong power, it goes back and forth. So he says, we are, of course, built and created with Tzelem Elokim. And when we're saying Hallel and Hillel, we're reflecting back the Kedusha, the Tzelem Elokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, and we're reflecting it back onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow it's a self-praise with great anivas, but that we carry the Tzelem Elokim, and we're connecting our Tzelem Elokim to that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what he explains Hallel means. And then finally, the last page of Shimon Sofer, grandson of the Chassam Sofer, explains what is Tzafon. Tzafon, of course, is Afikomen. Tzafon means to hide. So, of course, we have a nice minug to hide the Afikomen. But he explains that it's not just to hide it and play a nice game, which could be fun. But he says as follows. He quotes a Medrash that Yerushalmi, really, and Antinonis asked Rebbe if he's going to be Zocha to eat from the Leviathan in the times of Olam Haba. The Gemara talks about, in the Gemara's Baba Basra, Leviathan is going to be part of this final Suda we're going to have. He says, yeah, you're going to be Zocha to eat part of the Leviathan. You'll have that. Then he asks him, Rebbe, will I eat from the Karban Pesach in the times of Mashiach? He says, that you won't have. You won't eat from the Karban Pesach. So Maishna, what's the difference? He says, Leviathan is the Suda Gashmis. The final physical meal that we're going to enjoy. And you, as a goy, you could participate in the physical meal. Ah, the Karban Pesach, that's a Suda Ruchni. That's a spiritual one, and that you can participate. The Karban Pesach and the Afikomen, which of course is Zecher, the Karban Pesach, that's a Achila Ruchni. It's a spiritual one. And for that reason, he said, we have to eat Alasova. There's a din to eat Afikomen after you're already full. Get yourself physically full. You're done. You're done with the meal. The Karban Pesach is not supposed to satisfy us in the physical sense. It's supposed to be a spiritual sense. And therefore, it's left for the end. After the meal's over, it's left for the Olam Haba. Olam Haba has the schar, which is tzafon, which is hiding, which is waiting, all the great tzaddikim. So that's why Antinonis couldn't eat from it, because it's Olam Haba, the schar that we're going to have, the ruchni, but it's called tzafon because it references the hidden schar in Olam Haba that we're all going to enjoy from eating the Karban Pesach. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah.